Where are we? Where is this dark, starless place where my disembodied form worms and wasps torment? All these lost people, for the day of judgment, gathered in the sorrowing city, waiting for that fateful sound, signaling the time for them to come for their remains. The time at last has come to leave this place, even if only for a moment. Oh, the cruelty! Outside the imposing gates of our infernal destiny, it's once more a forest, dangerous and forbidding. How terrible it is to never have any respite from the dark woods of despair. Ow! By the flames that engulf you, I have been burned.
My apologies, oh, poor soul. That was not my intention. I too must be careful not to stray close to the gloomy shores of the great Acheron, or else I shall start to sputter like a log set ablaze.
Such heedlessness inflames me just as the common death and vice of the courts of Frederick against me all spirits inflamed, and so inflamed to turn my influence into infamy.
Your words strike a chord of remembrance with me. If my memory is not at fault, you must be none other than Pierre de la Vigne.
Your time away from the world above has not played your memory false. I am indeed he.
Well, we may be from different ends of our beloved Italy, but word of your influence has spread even to my Romagna. Many have been judged by you. You are a poet, and many knew your words.
How wondrous it is to be induced to talk, not by a wound, but by such sweet speech. But who are you that my eyes cannot perceive?
I am Guido da Montefeltro, the son of Montefeltrano da Montefeltro. I was a man of arms, and the hidden ways of the world I knew well. Many were my victories. And I walked the earthly path until mercy was bestowed upon me, and I returned to the flock. I then furled my sails, shunned all earthly pleasures, and became a Franciscan.
If your virtues are as you described, what then landed you in the infernal torment that now consumes you?
Though I am far removed from that sweet Italian earth, I'll have you know that my flame will remain still, if I cannot answer you without the fear of infamy.
Have no fears that through the sweet world above I shall spread word of your infamy. Here, in this dark, twisted hell, I am rooted for all eternity.
Well, you see, it would have worked. It should have worked. In my old age, I submitted to my shepherd, and when I gave my last breath, Saint Francis came for me. The celestial plane awaited until the infernal cherubim claimed me, that twisted logician. He dragged me through these condemned depths.
What you say astonishes me and vexes me. For the man who repents, there is nothing that cannot be absolved by the grace of God, over which sins of the past have no power. What great and atrocious offense could you have committed to have warranted such an exception?
I myself do not understand how my sins overcame my repentance. Minos condemned me to this inferno for fraudulent counsel. But it was the sweet words of Boniface, his weighty arguments that compelled me. My thoughts, heavy in my mind, moved forwards, then backwards, writhing and twisting about. Fearing his wrath, if I dared to refuse, I had no choice but to submit and consent to his request. He said that he would wash me of this unavoidable sin, and he promised. And so I used my hidden ways and a strategy for triumph I laid before him, a long promise with a short keeping for Palestrina.
In such a contradiction you believed, knowing as you do the hidden tricks of men, such self-deception I have never before witnessed.
Oh, Pierre, how could this be difficult for you to understand? Certainly I believed him. After all, it was he who held the keys, he who could lock and unlock the heavens. Silence was by far the worst course.
How could you, with your roots as a man of war, allow fear to conquer your honesty and integrity?
You do not know of Boniface. You were in the ground before his terrible reign. Nor do you know my character. My works were always more of that of a fox than a lion. This should not fall vainly upon your ears, you who are held up by the emperor himself as an example of corruption and deceit. Can you not understand the power of cunning speech just as I do?
Never, never while in the sweet, sweet world above did I breach the faith of my glorious office. My disdain came at the hands of the whore who plagues the house of Caesar. My devotion to my worthy lord never wavered. The torment, such injustice, I inflicted on my just self to escape such shame and falsehoods. And even now, when in this poisonous prison I am forever rooted, my memory still languishes beneath the very disdain from which, by death, I tried to flee. Where did you hear of that which you bellow like a Sicilian bull?
There's no need for such fiery indignation. Only the fact of the accusation did I hear. It was merely inference on my part that led me to believe in your guilt. Nonetheless, you and I are not as different as your heated words make us out to be. I too held the keys of influence, and I too had them turned against me. Have you no sympathy for a fellow soul betrayed by another, a greater authority?
As different as sweet white fruit and twisted poisonous thorns we are, I waste no pity on a serpent like you. It was your own lying tongue that burned you. I, in the throes of my crippling despair, fled from life and deprived myself of salvation. The fear that drove me took only one life, and for that eternity I must spend in the form of a thorn bush. But you who stands here burning for all eternity, twice did you have a chance to, by God's grace, be saved. But you who wore the rope that used to thinner its wearer's make, never in your heart did you repent for your devious ways that by so many were injured. For this, by the divine judge, you were thrown deeper than I into the heart of hell, and most just I judge this to be.
How can you be so blind that you cannot see I was a victim of deceit? You know not of what you speak. My final and most damning sin came about through the trickery of another, that prince of the new Pharisees. That leper's soul lured me into my first sins, promising much and keeping little. If I truly deserved this thieving fire, then why at my death did Francis himself come for me to ascend my soul up to the heavenly paradise?
You yourself have at length remarked upon your own hidden ways. Indeed, if yourself you manage to deceive so well as to actually believe even a part of your words, then deceiving all those around you, even Francis himself, would prove an easy feat for you.
Even in this infernal depth you judge me. Who do you think you are? Such violence against God did you commit, your gift from God, his molding of you, how you abused it. Beneath this fire that clothes me, I am still a man. You, in your desperate attempt to escape disdain, rob yourself of your human dignity. Now you're a miserable thornbush, the lowest form of life on the great hierarchy of being. And now, when all departed souls are retrieving their remains, why do you not return to your earthly form as I and the others do?
Alas, if only I were able to do so! In taking my own life, my soul from my body, I ripped apart. The souls who inflict such harm on their bodies, the divine condemns to drag the remains back to the sad woods, and each on the thorn bush of the soul who once harmed it, will the corpses hang. If in the sweet world we both once inhabited, you ever in your heart felt pity, pity me now, and no longer spread the false accusations that still haunt me. Instead, to all those you encounter, proclaim my innocence and help restore the reputation of a just man.
What you describe is indeed a terrible fate, I shall have pity on you, even though you spared none for me.
If your word you do keep, I shall recant my former judgment of you as undeserving of my sympathy.
Of that, my dear Pierre, have no fear. I shall do as you ask.
On your honor, do you promise?
I promise.